everyone. Welcome to People I Almost Know. I'm Michelle, and my guest today is Sherry Burbach. I almost know Sherry from Twitter, and when I saw on her bio that she's a friendship expert, of course I wanted to talk to her about that. Sherry is super friendly herself and very knowledgeable about relationships, and we had a really interesting chat about friendship. Among other things, we talked about the effect modern technology has on our friendships, some of the common questions readers ask Sherry on her column, and why it can be so hard to be honest and vulnerable in our friendships. It's a great chat, and I hope you enjoy it as much as I did. Before we get started, would you like to just tell everybody who you are and a little bit about yourself?
Sure. I'm Sherry Burbach. I am a freelance writer, and I work at About.com. I'm their friendship expert, and I also write about relationships and caregiving and dating and, you know, anything about people getting along and trying to connect with one another. That's my specialty. I've written a couple books, and I have a lot of clients, and I write for blogs, and I do a variety of things, and I really enjoy it.
Well, yeah, I see, you know, I was reading your about page, and I was like, man, you write about a whole lot of different kind of things, but you kind of did nutshell it there for me that it has to do with, everything comes back down to, I guess, relationships, like you said, and getting along and everything.
Yeah, you know, when I first started writing about relationships, it started with dating. I wrote about internet dating, and it just spiraled from there. It was, you know, I started writing about how to meet people, getting along with people, and friendships. And in the last couple of years, I've started writing about caregiving and dating when you're over 50. And, you know, everything kind of comes back to that one core principle of, you know, getting along with people, you know, having people in your life, you know, that type of thing. I think we all want to, you know, have the best relationships we can have across the board with basically everybody that we come in contact with. So it's an interesting area for me. I never get tired of writing about it.
I bet. Hey, now how did you end up becoming a friendship expert at About.com? And how long have you been doing that?
I've been doing it about 3 years. Before then, I wrote about relationships and other types of things like, you know, dating or, you know, just meeting people. And then clients would hire me here and there to write about friendship. And I just started writing about that as an extension of this, you know, relationship slash lifestyle expertise that I had developed. So I'd been writing about relationships about 10 years, and then wow. About was looking for somebody to write about just friendship specifically. And as soon as I saw that opening, I thought, oh, wow, I love this topic. You know, it was one of those things where I was like, I really hope I get this job. And so I just applied for it and got it.
Yeah, that's cool. Hey, one of the things that I had been thinking about as I was thinking about, you know, what do I want to ask a friendship expert? And one of the things that was going through my head is how electronics and things like Facebook and Twitter, those kinds of things have kind of changed the way we make friends and the way we keep in touch with our friends. So I wanted to ask you, like, do you think the idea of what a friend is has changed over the years as we've gotten more, I guess, electronic in our friendships?
Yeah, it is interesting because I don't know if the idea of what a friendship is has changed, but certainly how we've interacted with friends and how it changes the relationship. You know, first of all, the good parts, it's good and bad, you know, like anything, any new thing that comes along. I think technology has really helped people connect and meet more friends. And you see it with online dating. I mean, a lot of people have met people through online dating. Uh-huh. And I think the same thing happens with friendship. There are a bunch of friendship websites that you can meet people, you know, Girlfriend Social, Social Jane, Meetup, and all those types of things. So I think meeting people is a little bit easier that way. But I think technology can complicate a friendship too, especially if not both friends, let's say it's just two friends, if both friends are not on the same page with what they expect out of technology. Okay. You've got one friend that just lives on Facebook and puts their whole life on Facebook, and that's how they communicate primarily, and the other friend doesn't, it's going to change the friendship. You know, that other friend is going to have to work that much harder to communicate with the person. So I think it's made, you know, it's also made getting along a little bit more of a challenge, because we sometimes substitute, you know, we'll log on to Facebook and we'll comment on our friend's stuff, but we don't see them as much in person.
Yeah.
And I think we need to get back to doing that. I have actually a course on my About page called Friendship Bootcamp, and the whole thing is devoted to seeing people in person and how to fit that into your busy lives, because we are always so busy, and, you know, it becomes such a challenge to see your friends. So, you know, how to use that technology in order to make your friendship better. I think that's always the challenge. You know, use it because it can be a great thing for friends, but then don't, you know, put it in place of the old-fashioned seeing a friend, talking with them in person, doing stuff together, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, you know, from my perspective, that all sounds really familiar to me, because I am much more in touch with people, and I know what's going on in their day-to-day lives so much more than I did before Facebook, you know. But in some cases, I let that be the only thing, you know. So when we say, you know, well, let's get together soon, unless I say, let's get together next week, or let's make a date right now, it doesn't happen. Even though I feel like I know so much about what's going on in their lives, it's not really the same thing as being involved in their lives.
Right. I think it kind of puts a mask on loneliness, too. If you're somebody who has a hard time connecting with people in general, and you have a bunch of Facebook friends, you can feel like you're really connected, but as soon as you log off, you realize you're really not.
Yeah.
So it's kind of this false sense of community that you have there. It's not a bad thing. It's just, you know, you have to use it correctly. A lot of things that happen, too, with Facebook, you know, I get people that write me a lot for advice and, you know, what to do. And one of the things people say over and over is that they have a fight and they don't work it out the same way. You know, one person will say, well, I liked her Facebook post, but she's still not talking with me. As if liking the Facebook post is kind of working through an argument, and it isn't, you know?
Yeah.
So, and, you know, the other thing is, I think because you had mentioned, you know what's going on in your friends' lives on a different level, that can kind of add another layer of complication, because you're maybe assuming your friends are seeing other friends and they're not seeing you, or, you know, they're saying they're so busy, but yet they have so much time to post online. You know, there's all kinds of things that can be read into with, you know, Facebook and Twitter and all that. So, yeah, I think it's just one more layer. But then, you know, if you have a long-distance friend, I mean, I have quite a few of those, and Facebook is great for that, because, you know, seeing the pictures and connecting with them in that way is really a fun thing. So it's good and bad. It depends on how you use it.
You mentioned that people write into you with questions. And you, on about.com, you write about a wide range of friendship topics, I see. So I'm wondering, is there a common question that people ask you over and over and over again about friendship? Like a really normal?
Yeah. There's a couple common things that people write in about. And I think I always encourage people to use, you know, like we have a forum, and then I have also a friendship kind of advice form.
Oh, really?
And the benefit in using those is that then when those questions then become public, doesn't mean their name is used necessarily, but that means your question just gets answered publicly.
Uh-huh.
And it's such a benefit, because I think we do have the same kinds of questions no matter who we are. It's interesting to me, because I have quite a wide variety of people that write in, from, you know, teens to older people, men and women. You know, it's always surprising to me who writes in, because it's really a huge variety of people. It reinforces that, you know, we're all kind of trying to figure out the same things when it comes to friendship.
Yeah.
So some of the common things that people ask, by far, meeting people. You know, people today, we just don't have the sense of community that we did years ago. And, you know, we go to work and we come home and we, you know, sit at home and we go online. But we don't really meet people as much as easily, I should say, as we used to. So that's one of the things people constantly ask me, you know, what's the best way to meet friends? And the other thing that I get asked a lot is with arguments. And obviously the arguments are all different because we all, you know, everybody argues about different things, but the premise is the same, which is I've had this big argument with a friend and now what, you know, how do I trust them? How do I forgive them? You know, how do I apologize? How do we move on from this? So that happens a lot. And the other thing, another thing that and I've had this happen in my own life, is people who wonder, like, what happened with a friendship. These things that just confound you, like, you think you're good friends with somebody, and then something happens, and then so you wonder if this person was really your friend, or you wonder how good of a friend. These types of things, you know, these confusing things where people are like, well, I don't know what happened, and, you know, the behavior of other people where it doesn't make sense to you, and then you don't know how to talk about it, and that's a real common thing. And all of those things are really hard. And when you're, you know, trying to figure out an answer, you know, I mean, you can ask other friends and if they know the person that can help, but or not, or it can hurt sometimes. You know, so it's, so people really ask those types of things a lot. A lot about just trying to get along. You know, that's the basic question, I think. How do you get along?
I was thinking when you said how to get along, that seems to be like the hardest part, because we're so involved in ourselves, and sometimes it's hard for us to put ourselves in another person's shoes or to accept that there's two sides to the story or anything like that.
I think the basic thing that every person wants is they just want to be accepted, no matter who they are. And so when something happens, like you said, you kind of go into yourself a little bit and you think, why did that happen? And doesn't she like me? Or why did he say that? And you know, it might not be anything like you think it really is.
True, but
And it happens to everybody too. I mean, the one thing that I always stress to people is if you're never to be afraid of like kind of talking with somebody about how you feel. I mean, you can't always lay out everything that, you know, you can't be paranoid in friendships, but to really talk about things, because the littlest kind of misunderstanding can really change a friendship, and it can change it for years. People are more afraid to say, hey, what did you mean by that? Or is that, is this what you're thinking? That, you know, they would rather just pretend to be friends with somebody and have this underlying resentment for years rather than just kind of bring it up, because they're afraid of being rejected and being told, oh, you're nuts. That's not what I'm thinking. Or, you know, they're just, people are very, you know, we all just want to get along. We all just want to feel like we're important to people. And if we don't feel like that, then, you know, it adds this layer of like misunderstanding that gets involved with communication and arguments and all that. And so that's, you know, I think, and like you said, you know, everybody's different too. So it's like, yeah, we all have, you know, different arguments, but it's, you know, everybody comes with a different background.
Yeah.
You know, what's cool between two sets of friends, it might not be cool between that person and another friend. So, yeah, I mean, sense of humor, you know, things get taken the wrong way. It's just, I think a lot of misunderstandings that happen are done with, you know, unintentionally, but people don't know how to respond, and then something just grows from there. So, yeah.
Well, and it's interesting that I had just been thinking this morning about honesty and about how, why is it so hard to be honest about, and I guess for me, it boils down to vulnerability, because the ideal situation might be to say exactly what you said, something that sounds very simple when you're not in the throes of emotion, to say, hey, this is what you sounded like you said. Is that what you really meant? Or did I interpret it wrong? But saying that when I'm feeling all these emotions makes me feel so vulnerable that I'm not honest.
Right. You go, no, that's okay. And it's really not.
It's not okay.
That's what we do all the time. And everybody does it, you know. Oh, no, it's fine. Yeah. And then you're thinking, it's not. It totally hurts my feelings. But you're not going to say that because you're worried about, you know, somebody saying, well, that's stupid. Why are your feelings hurt? Or, you know, either saying, no, that's not the way I meant it. And then everybody's fearful of like showing who they really are.
Wow.
Yeah. And vulnerability, it's interesting that you mentioned that. It's really a buzzword now, isn't it? It's really, people are talking about this a lot with Brene Brown's, you know, TED Talks and her Daring Greatly, all these books about it. And it's really great because I've been reading a lot of those books too. And, you know, anything that gets you to encourage you to just step out there, you know, say what you're thinking, say what you're feeling so you can get past stuff. Because the reality is, of course, if you're vulnerable, there are going to be times where you're hurt. You know, that thing you fear where you're going to say, hey, did you really mean it that way? And the person is going to embarrass you with their response and you're going to wish you hadn't said it. But, you know, there are going to be those times, but there are going to be more times where you're going to have a closer friendship because of it. You know,
right,
so
yeah.
You have to, yeah. The term today is like lean in, you know, lean into it, you know. Lean into the vulnerability so that you can, you know, really be real with somebody.
That's, you know, that's good advice. And I think things like that, just you have to force yourself maybe the first time. And then you have to keep practicing making yourself, at least for me, making myself do things that I'm uncomfortable with. And then slowly, you know, that comfort starts to come.
Yeah, I think one of the reasons people feel so lonely today, because everybody talks about loneliness, and, you know, we have all these ways to connect online, and we have all these ways to show different parts of our life, but that realness and being vulnerable, that's what really contributes to the loneliness. You can have a lot of different friends that are on a more surface level, but if you don't have somebody in your life that you feel understands you for who you really are, that's when, you know, those sad, lonely feelings start creeping in. And loneliness is something I feel passionately about this. I just really want to kind of destigmatize that. You know, people are so afraid to talk about feeling lonely. And, you know, it really makes me mad. Like if somebody says that, you know, they felt lonely and somebody like just kind of brushed them off. It's just, I hate to hear that because it's such a brave thing to say, hey, you know what, I'm feeling really lonely. And, you know, people are afraid to do it because of how people react to it. And, you know, how somebody may react to it is really just they're feeling lonely too, but they don't want to hear it from anybody else, you know. And it's all, you know, we're all just like so into our own thing so much that, you know, we hurt people without realizing it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, loneliness is another thing, actually, that people write in a lot about. And I'm just, you know, I love talking about it because I think the more we talk about it, you know, it's kind of that stigma that, you know, goes away. Because, you know, if somebody says they're lonely, what's the first thing you think? You naturally think, well, what's wrong with you? Don't you have any
friends? Yeah.
And that's the wrong thing to do. You know, they're just like you. They're just admitting that they have these moments where they're lonely. And that's really a brave thing to say to somebody.
Yeah, you know, that's exactly what I was thinking. Because I'm single, I live by myself, and mostly I'm fine with that. I like my alone time and I like quiet. But sometimes, and I live way out in the country, sometimes I do get that, you know, feeling. And I was thinking the exact same thing is, you know, you don't want to say that to somebody because you think their reaction is going to be, well, what's wrong with you that you can't make friends? What's wrong with you that people don't want to be around you? And that's not really the case. It's just the case that my lifestyle is somewhat solitary, but, and I, because I'm a little bit of a homebody, well, a lot of a homebody, I don't make the effort to get out there and interact with people. And that's what I need, but you don't want to, you know, that's not, like you said, that's not the first thing that comes to people's heads. Unless
right.
they really know me, because people who know me say, well, you need to get out of the house, Michelle. Hello, it's your own fault. But people who don't know me, that's what I think they're going to think is, you know, well, why? What's wrong with you that, you know?
Right. And that's such a good point you bring up, because when we're talking about being real, you know, and being honest and being brave and all that, not everybody is the right person to share those things with.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the other hard thing, because it's like you want to be vulnerable with everybody. But of course, if you do that, you're that person that it just has no boundaries then. you know, then there's no filter, and then you're sharing everything, and then that's not good. So it's really a balance, but you really have to choose the right people to share those moments with and those feelings. And then if you have those people, you know, it's layers and layers of getting to know people and spending time with them. But like you said, if you share that with the right person, they can encourage you to just, you know, do what you need to do to conquer that rather than looking down at you or giving you the impression that they're looking down at you. I remember saying that to somebody just, you know, I obviously, being a writer, you spend a lot of time by yourself. You have to, because that's how you work.
Yeah.
And it can really get isolating. And, you know, like you said, if you're, you know, have a lot of deadlines or whatever, and you are at home, you know, I'm not necessarily making the effort to go out always to kind of talk with people, and that can sometimes feel lonely. And I remember just saying that to somebody, well, you know, when my husband isn't around, I feel so lonely. And they were just like, oh, lonely. I wish I had time to be lonely. I'm so busy, you know, and this, and I thought, oh, what a dope, what a dumb thing to say to me, you moron, you know, because really she was somebody who couldn't relate at all. But then I thought, no, I have to take responsibility. I shared that with somebody who's just, they don't have the same life that I do at all, you know.
Yeah.
They have, you know, tons of people. There's just, their house is like, you know, in and out, you know, it's one of those houses where everybody's in and out and there's never a quiet moment, and she can't understand that, you know.
So,
yeah, it's a balance. And I think a lot of times we have to give people a pass when they say something really idiotic to us because they just don't know and we didn't explain it. And, you know, rather than taking that so personally and saying, oh, you know, and then going back and making yourself feel worse, it's like you have to kind of give the other person a pass, give yourself a pass, and then try again with somebody who's maybe going to understand it better later on.
Oh yeah. And you know, that goes right back to what we said before, is that we're all looking through our own eyes, and she hears that and she relates it to her own life, which is only makes sense.
Right.
You know, and it's not at all the same thing that you're talking about, you know?
Right. Yeah.
Or not exactly, I should say, the same thing you're talking about.
Yeah, right.
That's interesting. So here's what I want to ask is, like, in general terms, what do you think are the most, like, detrimental things that people do that harm their friendships? Like, that we just consistently, it seems to me like we consistently make the same mistakes that harm friendships.
Yeah. Well, I think the biggest thing is a lack of really good communication, because we don't address things right when they happen. We feel afraid to say anything. And then because we don't say anything, we kind of keep like this mental tally of wrongs that our friends do. And then we just lay it out. Like, you know, then a year later we say, and then you did this. And then we bring up all the stuff from the past that our friend has no idea even bothered us.
Yeah.
So that's kind of a bad thing, because it's a big blow then that you have to get over. And a lot of friendships don't make it past that, because the other person is thinking, where is this coming from? And you've been just sitting here stewing, you know, because you just, you know. And the other thing is when you're working through an argument, like picking the appropriate time, because it's, yeah, you want to bring things up, but not every time is it's not always about you and the argument. So if you're at someone's birthday party, that's not the time to walk up to them and say, you know what, I didn't like the way you said blah, you know. You've got to pick the right times to address things. So I think that really, you know, we just want to feel better. And so we think, okay, we go to two extremes. Either we don't say anything because we think that's better, because, you know, if we're not arguing, then we're getting along. That's what we think, you know.
Yeah.
And so we harbor these resentments, and that's always a bad thing. Or we go to the other extreme where we think, no, I've got to bring it up. And so we just bring it up anytime we feel like it. And that's never good either, because there really are, you know, you should sit down with somebody in a private place and hash things out. And it shouldn't be this public thing that you do in front of people. And, you know, and we just don't allow the time for that to happen. And so then when we bring it up is usually, you know, I've seen this happen so much. You know, we see this on reality TV, I think. That's why I love reality TV, because I think, you know, we can learn so much from our friendships from them. Like, you know, take a show like The Real Housewives, okay? They're all put together and, like, forced to be friends. And you see a lot of like mistakes and interaction there that you wouldn't, you know, that kind of they're, it's almost like bigger, more dramatic moments in everyday life.
Yeah.
But they're great things to learn from. And a lot of things I noticed on The Real Housewives is just when they bring things up, something's bothering them. So they just march up to somebody at, you know, an award ceremony and talk about, you know, how, she dissed her dress or whatever. Well, of course, that's not going to get a good response. You know, that person's not prepared for that talk. So I think that's one of the things, if you have a beef with somebody, you have to not only pick the right time, you have to kind of allow the other person. And this is really hard because if you're mad at them, you know, you just want to tell them what's wrong, you know, and you have to allow them to kind of, you know, respectfully process what you're saying. So you really have to pull back your emotions and explain it to them in the way that they can understand so that they can get where you're coming from. And if you can handle all that, that's like, that'll make your friendships that much better. But if you can't, you're kind of always going to have these problems where you repeat the same problems with every friendship. And it's all about getting along. So that's one thing that people do over and over. And it really takes a lot of work.
Communication is or being able to communicate well is, and or effectively, maybe it's a better word, is something that most of us have to kind of learn and relearn.
We have to continually relearn it, because even if we've got it mastered with one friend,
that's
we're not gonna
true.
Have it mastered with another friend, because they're gonna communicate differently.
Yeah.
So you see that a lot with people who have been best friends a long time, and then they can't get along with anybody else. And it's like, well, they've been best friends, why can't they get along with anybody else? And that's probably why, because they have this shorthand in their friendship, and they can do things with their friendship and, you know, not return calls and whatever else that you can't do with another friend.
Yeah,
the other thing I see people doing, and they write me about this over and over, is when they're trying to make friends, you know, there's a lot of work that goes into making friends. And it's not just meeting people. It's developing that time where you get to know them and, you know, you learn about them and you learn how they communicate and all the things that you learn about people. And it takes a lot of time. And if you don't have a lot of time, that friendship's not going to survive, you know, or if you don't have the patience for it. So people either, they meet somebody, they click, hey, you're cool, let's hang out. And if they don't devote the right amount of time, or if they try and hurry the friendship along by, you know, wanting that person to be their best friend right away, that's the other thing that happens sometimes. You know, that new friendship, because it's just so fragile, is not going to survive. It's not like an old friendship that, you know, it's been through the block, been around the block a few times. It can weather a few ups and downs. New friendships are just completely different things. And people are often really shocked at how much work they take.
That's
one thing.
Yeah, you know what you're putting me in mind of is that how much we don't, and this is so many aspects of life, how much we don't really think about what we're doing, what we're saying, how we're acting. But, you know, you make a friend and you don't think about this as a process of getting to know somebody. You just kind of go about it without giving it any thought at all. And I guess that would be like my next question is, but what I had planned to ask you is kind of the opposite side of the detrimental things, or what are the best things that we can do to strengthen our relationships? And I'm thinking now that that's maybe part of it is just paying attention.
Yeah, absolutely. Like learning to listen the right way is really a great thing. Because what do people do when people talk? You just wait for an opening to say what you have to say, right?
Yeah.
That's like the way people listen. And it's really bad because you miss so many things that are going on with your friend's life. You know, your friend might be saying how great her life is, but the tone she's using and the look on her face and all these things that you don't really pay attention to when you're just waiting her to finish.
Uh-huh.
You know, instead of focusing on what you have to say, you know, really figure out what your friend is saying, do, you know, follow-up questions and that type of thing. So learning how to listen is a really big thing, because having somebody feel like they've been heard is really a valuable thing. You know, somebody will really appreciate your friendship if you're the person that they can just you know, sit in front of and be heard. So mastering that, and it's really hard because in our society, we, you know, it's all about us and that kind of thing. But, you know, the old saying where you have two ears and one mouth, you should listen more than you talk.
Yeah.
And so I, you know, it's something everybody needs to work on. The other thing I see a lot with friendships is just not enough one-on-one time, not enough seeing your friends, especially with this Facebook thing and Twitter and all that. And, you know, making time, and you don't have to make it big. Like, that's the other mistake. Oh, I'm so busy. I just don't have time to see her and all this stuff. Incorporate your friend into your life. Run errands with a friend.
Oh, yeah.
You know, go grocery shopping, you know, go get your haircut together, whatever. You know, do these little, all the little things that you have to jam into a life. Well, bring your friend along and then sit down after and have a cup of coffee. And that'll make you feel connected with them, even though you don't have that big moment to, like, sit and have a big dinner or go on vacation or whatever you normally do with friends. So if you can just, you know, take little moments and just, you know, invite your friend over for your, you know, family dinner and, you know, make them a part of your life that way so you get the time with them, that really helps nurture friendships a lot.
Yeah, great
and
stuff.
I'm a huge on, like, saying, like, telling friends how much you mean to them. Well, of course, I'm a writer, so this is easier for me, but, like, I love sending cards to friends. I mean, I don't know if they just, like, read them and go, oh, what a dork, whatever, and throw them away. But I love those, you know, I love getting cards like that or, you know, getting an email that says, you know what, I just really appreciate the fact that you did blah, and it's something small. And, you know, those little, recognizing all those little moments in a friendship, that just goes so far in making it strong. So I love things like that.
You know, and that's such great advice, too. And it does make a difference because we don't, I think maybe that goes back to the vulnerability thing again, that I don't often tell people how I really feel about them. That, hey, I just think you're totally awesome, you know, or I think you're a very kind person. And it's such a simple thing to say, but I don't know why it feels hard sometimes to be, you know, honest with good things as well as, you know, the hard things.
Right. Because some people, you know, it takes practice. If you're not in practice, you're going to think it, but you're not going to necessarily say it. But the other thing is people aren't always used to hearing it.
That's
and
true.
You know, interesting. Sometimes I'll say that to somebody and I'm just like, what? No. And, you know, they're just, you know, they don't really know what to do with it. And it's like, you know, I don't know what they do then. Do they go home and are they embarrassed, or do they go home and go, wow, that was so cool, you know? But it has to be, the biggest thing with anything is it has to be genuine. So if you're genuinely feeling like somebody's just, oh, thank you so, you're such a good listener, thank you so much, then say it, you know, don't let them assume that that's what you're thinking.
Right. Yeah. Such good stuff. I tell you what, I keep thinking right now, it's just, such a wide topic. Relationships in general are complicated. I have all these little questions that pop in my head as we're talking that we just obviously don't have near enough time to cover. But everything you've said is just so great. Wonderful conversation. I loved it.
Well, I'm glad. I did too. It was so fun. I know what you're saying too. As soon as you start talking about it, it's all these things that pop up and, you know, you're like, I always think about, you know, when I'm writing an article, as soon as I'm writing it, a million other things pop up that I can relate this to,
yeah.
You know, so I'm always writing down ideas and, you know, of what I should write next. And, you know, people ask me questions. As soon as they ask one, then it's like, oh, I should cover that. And
yeah.
I should cover this. And because it is, it's just, there's so many little things that are involved with relationships in general, as you said. Yeah,
this is good. But you know, this is really great stuff though. We've talked about some of the pitfalls and the things that we can do to make our relationships better, our friendships better. So thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Now, where can people find you on the internet?
Okay. If you go to my website, I have links to everywhere else I'm writing. So my main website is sherryburbach.com, which is sherryburbach.com.
Okay.
And then also I'm at friendshipatabout.com and you can catch up with me there. And so I'm on, you know, Facebook and Twitter and all that. And anybody, if you have a question or comment or whatever, I always try and respond. So.
Well, yeah, and I'll link everything. And thank you so much for coming on. This was great. And I'm out of questions. Well, I'm not out of questions. I'm out of time.
Well, this has been great. Thanks so much.
All right. Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks again to Sherry, and be sure to check out her column on about.com. Thanks so much for listening. I'm Michelle, and this has been People I Almost Know. If there's something you'd like to talk about or someone you'd like me to talk to, you can drop me a line on the website or give me a shout on Twitter or on Facebook. And if you'd like to meet other people I almost know, subscribe on iTunes or on the Stitcher app, or visit peopleialmostknow.com.